I've seen him just evolve from a young, very systems-oriented, you know, play-the-trap kind of coach, which was very effective, to a guy that's extremely innovative. I mean, he ended up on coaching our team, and we have had the best offense in the National Hockey League. And you might say, oh, it was all the players. And it was. They were great players. But we didn't have Mario Lemieux. We didn't have Wayne Gretzky. The point is, he really develops a team concept.
Larry Quinn, who called into Bulldog yesterday, former Sabres managing partner, but just called in, hey, let's go to Larry.
Yeah. And it was that Larry.
And then the caller was able to say, instead of, I've been a season ticket holder for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, not that that's bad, it was, yeah, I hired Lindy Ruff.
I hired him. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Back to your calls on this in a moment. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, keeping up on the NFL draft, which is 2 days away, round one. 2 days away for the Bills and the 28th overall pick and all that could come with it. We saw John Lynch cutting off a question about Brandon Ayuk and whether or not he's been given permission to seek a trade. He didn't answer it, Joe. He cut it off. Mm-hmm. And like, if I cut this question off, I don't have to give you the answer to your question. I can just kind of shut down the question. That's what Lynch did. So, that's there. One thing you tweeted out I saw and wanted to bring it up. So, overthecap.com, one of the cap pages, SpotTrack, Over the Cap. Anyway, Jason at overthecap.com tweeted out a chart. We love our charts, folks, right? No one love a chart? Anyway, what it showed was the value of picks in terms of what position you should get.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to calls and Lindy in one moment. I just want to bring this up. No one would argue the most valuable position to pick is quarterback.
Right. By a lot.
Yep.
Too. Yeah.
And he put two X's on this. One was the average first round salary cap benefit, which means how much are you saving by getting a first round quarterback,
right?
Or receiver, tackle, tight end, safety.
And for quarterback, it's over $35 million.
Yes, yes. Taking a quarterback in the first round is a savings of about $35 million if you're going to sign one,
right?
Because that's how cheap it is. The position you save the second most on is wide receiver. And then third, it's very close between defensive tackle and defensive end. So, shocker, the Bills have a quarterback. What two positions are we really talking about the most? Wide receiver and defensive line for this team. They would make a lot of sense to spend early picks on because of not only the need at the position, but the value. But the one other thing that kind of jumps out here is, as he charts it, it's the availability in free agency. Okay?
Yeah.
So, how often is a top 20 player at the position available in free agency?
Mm-hmm.
And according to this from Jason at Over the Cap, the most scarce position in the NFL in free agency is wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You are more than quarterback. More than quarterback. You are less likely to get a top 20 wide receiver in free agency than you are to get a quarterback in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to talk about how we've all decided it's okay to trade up for the quarterback, the next position, if you would defend it in any way, is receiver.
Right.
You don't have to defend it, but it is the most on the benefit of how much you save on the salary cap, and it is the most scarce position to get after the fact.
Yep. Normalize trading up for wide receivers?
Absolutely.
Because it often is said, trading up only makes sense if it's for a quarterback. Like, that sentiment is out there a lot. And maybe it'll take longer for this to kind of get ingrained in the league, but it does feel like receiver is going to get, like, more and more and more that might get grouped in. Maybe with quarterback. Knowing quarterback would still be more, reasonable to do it. But I've been thinking that all offseason, that, like, this is the, it's not just that it's the biggest need on the team, it is the position that it is. Like, I think it's the second most important position on a roster.
Yeah.
And this is just a lot more evidence, I think, it's backing that up.
803-0550, back to the phones, connecting with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. To Atlanta for John. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So, I'm a big fan of the hire. I think I kind of saw not really because, like, the tactics or the record, because I think, hockey coaching is essentially voodoo, right? coaches get fired and hired all the time and they have success and then they don't have success. But I saw a tweet, and it kind of relates what you mentioned this morning, Jeremy, about, you know, Lindy's nostalgia. And it kind of summarized my, like, why I was such a big fan. It basically said that I'm fairly confident that Lindy is more invested in the success of the Buffalo Sabres than Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula, you know, based purely out of the fact that Lindy has literally been officially now a member of the Sabres organization every decade in its existence. So I think that he's going to force Kevin Adams to not have an offseason like last year, and where Connor Clifton and Eric Johnson and re-signing Tyson Jost is the offseason. So I just think that he's just going to force them to make those decisions, and I'd love to hear your reaction.
Yeah. Thanks, John. This point is there have been years past with the Buffalo Sabres where, listen, this season ended. It was disappointing. I want to continue to say they're not at rock bottom. They've come a long way from rock bottom. Would Lindy have joined on as the coach 4 years ago? He might have. He might have thought about it because he loves the organization, right? There's going to be that level of nostalgia for him.
Yep.
But it's almost like to me that they've earned him beyond that a little bit. They're a team that should have better results. And through this drought, there have been times, I want to point to the Kruger years more than any other, maybe the Housley years, really what it is the Bottrell years, where it felt like we had to beg them to care about their own product.
Yeah. Yep.
That was, to me, those are the Bottrell years, which is the coach finished in dead last in his first year. The next year, they're bad again, and Bottrell says fans want a coaching change, like mocking the idea that they could change the coach. Because he's got some plan, then he's going to go trade for Michael Frolik after 4 months of negotiation. it was a feeling of, do you watch your own games?
Right.
How do you think that this is going well? And we'll find out. But Lindy, as spicy as it gets with him, as angry as he gets, I feel what John feels, a level of confidence that there will be things that are not okay.
There'll be a standard.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be a standard.
And I think with Granato, they made steps, and yeah. he brought them along a lot for a lot of those players individually. And if the natural progression is that the relationship had to end and had to go to another phase, okay. I'm good with it. There may be a better hire. I don't know. But in this department, like John mentions, I feel good about that. I feel like we're not going to have to beg them to care.
Right. I do wonder how fiery he'll be. He is older. I watched a clip of him with the Devils in their locker room, like giving a speech, and he was, you know, plenty fiery enough on that speech. It's just, wow, he looks old. He looks older.
Hey, people get old, man.
People get old. I know people get old, but what's my Lindy timeline been filled with? It's him at what, 45 years old, climbing over the bench to go after Brian Murray, or jumping down against the Rangers to go after an official. Like, I don't think he's doing that anymore.
Yeah,
does he still skate?
Sure.
Probably he does,
yeah,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
All head coaches still
skate. You tweeted out a video, right? Of him yelling at the Devils last week on skates.
No, that was at the Sabres.
Oh, it was the Sabres
That was like Vanek and Roy that he was yelling at, that he was flipping out about, yeah.
All right. Scott in Rochester is up next. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. On the Lindy hire, like, I want it to work out. I want them to return to the playoffs. But I felt the hire, like, just reeks of safe and uninspired. Again, I hope it works out, but this organization has a tendency to just, you know, stay within the organization and doesn't like to go outside, and I don't know how long you can ride that, honestly. And on the playoffs, I just want to make a note, like, again, like, the greatest player in the world, the best player in the NHL in 30 years, gets the coveted Monday 10:20 time slot. I don't know what it I get time zones. I really do. Mm-hmm. But none of these other leagues seem to have a problem showcasing their best players. And, again, Connor McDavid, I want to watch him. But I got to wait till 10:20 at night. And what does he do? He puts up 5 assists. How many players in the NHL have put up 5 assists in one game in the playoffs in the past 20 years? And they just refuse to showcase this guy, and it's very frustrating. And I just – Gary Bettman seems to be just clueless still. So, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. The answer is McDavid's the first one to do it in 26 years. five assists in a playoff game.
And it was at 10:30 at night.
It was very late at
night. And Wednesday it'll be at 10. So Wednesday at 10, Friday 10:30. So it's not getting much better. Sunday at 10:30. They play LA. And what you needed is them to play someone in like the central time zone, right? Like St. Louis,
I guess.
Or something. I mean, they're in Edmonton. What can you do? They lost this battle on lottery night 2015, right. Didn't they?
The first part of, you know, guys only hiring whatever in the organization. Fair. That is hockey.
That is hockey that,
Who's the GM of the Flyers?
Danny Briere.
Played there. Who's the GM of the Rangers?
Chris Drury.
Who's the GM of the Sharks?
Mike Greer.
Who's the GM of the Red Wings?
Yzerman.
I mean, like, it is a sport that...
Who's the GM of the Avalanche?
Keep going.
Joe Sakic?
Yeah. That's the sport.
A good point. How many GMs in the league played for their team?
Rob Blake in L.A.
Rod Blake in L.A. Yeah. Right? It's going to be all of them. Watch.
It's not unusual at all. And... For coach, it's not maybe lining up as much, but president. Who's the president of the Flyers organization? Keith Jones?
Yes.
Of course. Like, I think the sport works that way. Not to say that's the best way for the sport to work, but that's just the reality.
Yep.
So it's not really a Buffalo thing. You want to say it looks small. I get it. They didn't hire Matt Ellis. All due respect to Matt Ellis. You know, they hired a guy that has coached for other teams.
I don't think Ron Francis played for the Kraken. Just a hunch. I don't think that happened.
Yeah, and you're probably right about that.
Did he play for the Metropolitans?
guys hire who they know also, right? Like, that's a football thing as well as a hockey thing. Guys hire who they know. Who does Kevin Adams know? He worked for 2 years under Lindy Ruff. If he did that in Carolina, he probably would have hired Lindy Ruff, wouldn't he have? Just whatever. He worked under a guy for 2 years. Wherever it was, he worked under Lindy for 2 years. Would he have hired him? If Kevin Adams somehow became the general manager of the Minnesota Wild and he was in the same situation, would he have hired Lindy Ruff? I tend to think yes.
Yeah.
Now, did Terry Pegula or the owner sign off on that or even maybe be infatuated by the idea because there's feelings there? I can get down with that, too.
Sure.
I'm sure that helped. If Adams wanted Lindy, it probably helped that his owner probably has some positive feelings towards Lindy.
I would think so. 803-0550, a shift of football coming up at 8 o'clock with Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, as we gear up for the draft. 2 days away from the draft. We'll talk with Joe Marino tomorrow. Happy Wednesday. It is beautiful outside.
It's awesome.
Absolutely gorgeous. It's going to rain a little bit later.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Yesterday was nice, but it was a lot colder than it looked.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had the experience yesterday. Wow, look at it. It's beautiful outside. Then 5 minutes in, you need a jacket. Today it's going to pick up, the wind's going to pick up, and it might rain a little bit tonight. So rain for a couple days, and then next week, and even this weekend, 70s? All right. Let's go. 803-0550. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can join us. Sam Monson coming up at 8. Marty Baron, 9:30 on Lindy. And Lindy is back.